I want to thank all of our visitors for being here this morning. I'm sure if you knew I was preaching, you probably wouldn't have came, but we're very glad to have you guys here today. I'm going to preach this morning on the subject of what is your faith doing for you? What is your faith doing for you? We're going to begin reading in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. It says this: "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the message. My Father, I thank You so much for the opportunity to preach. I fully realize I'm unworthy and unable to stand behind this pulpit and preach. Lord, I realize that it's holy ground that I'm treading upon, and I do not want to do anything to distract or hinder or grieve the Holy Spirit of God as He seeks to work in the hearts. Father, I pray that You would open the hearts of those that are here this morning. Lord, we all need help, if we'll just be honest. Even me, I need help. Father, if we'd be willing to face the facts and accept that we need help and listen for what You have for us, not for what I have. I know very well that this message didn't come from me. Lord, help me as I seek to be obedient. Keep me from saying anything that would be not what You want said. And let me say that which needs to be said and get out of the way for You to work. And it's in Your precious and holy name that I pray. Amen. Let's read again real quickly, verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth." Before I get in very much in the message, we need to define our terms here. What is faith? Okay, so my question for you, I want you to keep this in mind as we go throughout the message. What is your faith doing for you? But what is faith? I think some simple definitions, we can say faith is trust in something that cannot be seen. For instance, the wind. I know it's there, yet I cannot see it. It's faith. It's a belief that knows something to be true even when it seems impossible. Faith is not a feeling. I had a pastor in South Dakota, where I'm from. He made this statement once. Faith is not a feeling, but a conscious choice to believe what is said. Let me give you another example. I have faith that the planets in our solar system exist. One, for instance, Pluto. And now, don't get all off track if you don't think it's a planet. I'm going to use this for it because it's about the farthest one out. And when it was in my science book, they did call it a planet. So I have a good excuse. I believe it's there. Well, let me tell you something. I've never seen it. I've never gotten my hands on a telescope powerful enough to get me all the way out there. I've never seen it. I cannot feel it. But I know it's there. You know, my only reason for knowing that it is there is my science book. They tell me it was there. I believed them. I didn't question it. I just agreed. Yeah, it's there. I get it. But you know, this whole planet thing, I believe in it. Yeah, it's there. But what has it done for me? It hasn't done a thing. You know, besides maybe fascinate me at how big the universe is and take up time in my school year, what did it really do for me? Nothing. That's faith that does not work. That's faith in something, but it does absolutely nothing for me. It's just useless knowledge that occupies my head. But you know, there's a big difference between this kind of faith and the kind of faith I'm going to talk about this morning. a very big difference. You see, this planet, as I've already said, it does nothing for me. I'm not a scientist. I'm not out there trying to figure out all these things about the solar system. I don't have to know it. It does nothing for me. It's useless to me. But saving faith is a little bit different, because the faith in the planets, it's a passive faith. It doesn't do anything. But saving faith is a little bit different, and here's why. Saving faith is an active faith. It does something in your life. And if it does not, there's a very good chance it's not saving faith. I want to preach this morning on what is your faith doing for you. You know, there's a lot of people, co-workers of mine, for instance, I relate to them a lot because I talk to them a lot. I try to witness to them. I talk to a lot of people about Christ when I get the chance. And you know, there's something that amazes me about the Christianity that you will find in this area. Everybody believes in God. You cannot talk to somebody, "Hey, do you know Jesus Christ?" "Oh yeah, I know about Jesus Christ." "Okay. Well, tell me, did you ever put your full faith and trust in Christ?" "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. I know He existed. I know He died and was buried and rose again. I know all this stuff." "Well, has there ever been a time where you've personally accepted Jesus Christ?" "Oh yeah, I prayed this prayer at VBS once. Or this guy, he was preaching, it really got to me. And you know, I came down and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And I find out that a lot of my coworkers are trusting in one thing alone. They are trusting in a belief in God and in a prayer that they've prayed, but it's never done anything for them." I have a problem with that. Because saving faith is not passive, it's active. And when I see somebody that says, "Yes, I believe, yes, I know," but it does not change their life, that leaves a big question mark. My question this morning to you is, what has your faith done for you? You say that you believe. You say that you profess to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. I mean, think about that. That's a little bit far-fetched, isn't it? A man that's dead rising again, but you say you've got faith to believe that it happened. You say that you have faith knowing that He's able to save. But if it does not change your life now, what difference does it make what you believe? You can tell me all you want that you know the truth, but knowledge is not enough. That's not the kind of faith that's saving faith. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people in this county that know the truth, or enough of the truth at least to get them to heaven if they would accept it. They know the truth. They have deceived themselves into believing that they have accepted it. But there's one big dead giveaway to the real faith that they kind of have. It changes nothing in their life. If you got saving faith, or profess to have it, and it's just like that faith that I have in the planets, it does absolutely nothing for me, then you have a serious problem. And I want you to reflect on that as we go through. I want to show you some actions that true faith will cause in the life of a believer. We're going to look at a couple examples here. I want to show you four things that faith does. Let's look again in verse 13. Faith always causes a reaction. True faith does. Always. If you say you have faith, for instance, in this bench, I would not trust this bench if I was anybody in here, because half of that side is loose. So I can say I have faith in this bench, but if I never sit in it, guess what? You all have very good reason to believe I have no faith in that bench. I really do not want to come running and jump on that, because I know what's going to happen if I do. It's going to break and I'm going to fall. I don't trust it. But if I have real faith, for instance, faith in this chair, it always leads to a reaction or an action afterwards. I believe the chair will hold me, then I proceed to sit down. I believe, have faith in a certain worker's ability on the job, well then I put him in a particular position to where he can carry out that task that's best suited to him because I believe he can do it. You see, always faith causes a reaction. I want you to see the first thing that it caused in these people's lives. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." I want to say, first of all, true faith got their attention. It wasn't something that they just kind of knew was there but didn't really do anything about. This faith got their attention. Think about it. One promise that they all had in common there. And that's what their faith is in. Not having received the promises. Their faith was in a promise that God had given. One of the promises that every single one of them in here were given is Genesis 3:15. I'm sure we're mostly familiar with that, where God promises that the woman's seed would crush the serpent's head. It's the first prophecy that's pointing to a Messiah that would one day come to save the world. Every single one of the people mentioned before this had that promise. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, those are the ones named before this point. Every one of them had that same promise. Every one of them did believe in that promise. They knew that one day God was going to send someone, whether it was His son, I can't remember if the prophecy was very clear, it just said the woman's seed. They knew somebody, someday God was going to send someone to come and to redeem them from their sins. But while they waited, they all did one thing in common. They would sacrifice to cover for their sins. For a time when they knew they were guilty, and they knew that if they wanted to make it to heaven, they knew that if God's word was true, I needed to sacrifice to stay alive before God. If I want to be right with God, I must sacrifice a lamb. They all trusted in the same promise. You know what? Jesus Christ never came in their lifetime. Was their faith in vain? No. You see, the promise of God did not necessarily have a time schedule set to it that they knew of. They didn't know when it was going to come. They didn't know how it was all going to play out. They just knew one thing. God said that one day a woman's seed was going to come, crush the serpent's head. They knew that one day somebody was going to come and take the penalty for their sins. There'd be the final sacrifice. Their sins could be paid for once, for all, forever. It's finished. They believed it. You see, it got their attention. But there were other things along the way that they also had faith in. You'll see each one of these, they had something specific to them that God gave them a promise and they would accept it. And some of them got to see maybe a partial fulfillment or something happened. But you'll see that it got their attention. Abel, he had very clearly that promise of Genesis 3:15. Guess what? Instead of being like Cain and sacrificing the fruits of his garden, the best that he had, he did what God had said and offered a perfect lamb. Enoch walked with God. He had some promises from God. He found out something about fellowship with God, and he wouldn't quit walking with God. It got his attention. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He knew something was coming. God gave him a promise. He saw it afar off. He didn't know exactly when it was going to come. You know, he waited 120 years for that promise to come while he would preach, judgment one day is coming. God is going to send a flood and destroy the earth for its sin. He preached 120 years for that. You know what? I wonder if he ever began to doubt that. You know, it's 120 years. God said this 120 years ago. Come on, guys. Is it really going to happen? But he had faith. He believed in something that he could not see. Abraham was called of God to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance and obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham had a promise. God said, look, Abraham, go to a place that I'm going to show you of, and I am going to give it to you one day. Well, you know what? He didn't know where he was going. But you know what he did? He had enough faith to believe that what God said was true, that he stepped out by faith and began a lifetime journey of walking with God and following God. You know, he never did get that promise in his lifetime. He got to be in the land. He was told, this is the land you will get, but he never got it while he was alive. Was God false? No. God's promises just hadn't come through yet. But Abraham had faith. Sarah was told she would have a son when I believe she was 90 years old. Maybe a little bit more. Pretty impossible, right? You know, when she first heard it, she laughed. But you know, she believed it. And because of her faith, she had that son. You see, All these promises of God did something for them. It did not remain passive in their life, but it got their attention. When somebody says, "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ," but they give no attention to the things of God, no attention in the church house, no attention out in the world, but their attention is on the things of the world, something is wrong with their faith. Because true faith will get your attention. It does something. It does not remain passive. But it causes a reaction in your life. You know, they never looked back. Let me show you. Verse 15, it says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, one that isn't heavenly." You know, something strikes me odd, and I'm not going to say a saved person cannot do this. We know Paul said, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." But something strikes me as odd when a person says, "Yes, I've trusted in Christ," and then turns and goes and rejects everything they've said or professed to believe in. Something tells me that faith was not true, most likely because true faith, once it gets your attention, it most likely is not going to let go of your attention unless you allow yourself to get distracted and to turn away. It kept their attention. Secondly, not only did faith, real faith, get their attention, but it gave them assurance. Look again in verse 13. "Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them." You see, somebody that says, "I have true faith," when you believe in something, you will act upon that belief. If you believe you are going to lose your house, you are going to do everything in your power to keep your house. They were assured of some things that they could not see, some things that they could not feel, some things that, just to be honest, all the circumstances deemed impossible. It cannot happen. It will not happen. I mean, how absurd does it have to be when rain has never come before? God said He's going to send a flood. A what? It's going to rain. What is rain? It never happened before. But Noah believed God, moved with fear, because he believed it. You see, somebody that says, "Yes, I've got faith," but then they don't act upon it. They don't really believe it. I have reason to doubt your faith. I have good reason to doubt your faith. Actions speak louder than words. And you can tell me no matter what you want to say. You can tell me the best things you want to say. You can say, "Yes, I know I believe. Yes, I believe it's true." But if you never act upon it, it doesn't matter what you say you believe. Your actions are talking a million times louder than your words are. Amen. It's not saving faith if you're not assured of it. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead? Think about it. A dead man raising to life. I can promise you, if we had a casket up here and the person got out of that casket, every single one of us would run scared out of this building. Because everybody knows that's impossible. But yet we say Jesus Christ did. And it's a fact. History proves it. We have all that here. It is a fact. We have reasonable grounds to put our faith in it. But a lot of people say, "Well, yes, I know He did," but you know, they never really grasp it with their heart. It stays right in the head, and that's all it does for them. It's just as good as useless knowledge. It's just as good as what those planets, knowing that they're there, has done for me. Absolutely nothing. If your faith does not give you assurance, we say, Christians, we say we believe that there is a hell. We say that we know that sinners are going there and that if they do not turn to God, they will die in their sins and go to hell. Yet we do nothing to tell them about their lost state. We do nothing to warn them that hell is real and that it's coming soon. We do nothing to warn the lost that Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. He says, "Know you not that it's high time to awake out of sleep? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." And yet we say we believe it, yet we do nothing about it. Do you really believe it if you do nothing about it? What's your faith doing for you? First of all, it got their attention. Secondly, it gave them assurance. Thirdly, it governed their affection. It says, and embraced them. They embraced them. You know, every one of these people, after they received that promise of God, it characterized their life for the rest of their life. Their lives were centered around the promise of God. It got their love. All that they wanted to be was about those promises. They looked for them. They waited for them at every corner. They lived their lives wanting something. They lived their lives constantly looking for that city, knowing one day it will come. You know, they never did get it in their lifetime. But I can tell you one thing, that faith that they had, it governed their affection. You know, a Christian says, well, I've got saving faith. I believed in Jesus Christ. But you out there loving the world and the things of the world, you don't love the things of God. You don't love the church. You don't love to be around His people. There is a big problem with that. I'm not saying you don't have saving faith, but you may be very, 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 very far away from God. Because I can promise you, true faith will get your affection and it'll keep your affection. When you truly believe in the promises of God, there's something a little bit exciting about it. You know, God's given me a promise specific to me. Maybe it's that one day I know I'm going to be a missionary. I don't know where it's going to be, but I know He's going to do something. You know, that makes me excited because I know God's got something for me. He's given me some promises that I know I can claim. He says, they that seek the Lord, they shall not want any good thing, you know. I don't know what all those good things are, but I'm kind of excited to find out what they are. You see, there's promises in Scripture that are applied to us and we say we believe them, but it doesn't excite us, does it? Is it really real faith? Or is it just head knowledge? Yeah, I know. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, I know it's right. But it does nothing for you. If your faith does nothing for you, there is a problem. There is a big problem. Question, what are you living for? I asked this, I believe, just a little bit Sunday morning when I opened up last week. What are you living for? What's got your affection? The Bible says set your affection on things above, not on the earth beneath. But you know, there's a lot of Christians that have that backwards. They've set their affection on the things beneath and not on the things above. If you've got real faith, your affection should be up here, not down here. See, faith, real faith, changes things. And if you are in love with the world, you've got a problem. Don't tell me you believe something when you aren't willing to act upon it. Don't tell me you believe something when it's not changed you. I can't buy into it. It makes no sense to me. Faith changes things. Lastly, not only did it get their attention, not only did it give them assurance, not only did it govern their affection, but it goaded them to action. They did something about what they believed. Notice with me, the last phrase in verse 13, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And that faith, it set them apart. It changed them. It changed their very lives. Abraham never was back home once he got that promise of God and left. Abel, he died for his faith. He obeyed God. Cain got mad and killed him. Noah saved his whole family by building that ark, but he built the ark. He preached 120 years knowing that judgment was coming. He believed it, and that faith changed his life. His life was about that ark. He built the ark. His family was saved. Enoch never quit walking. He never did quit walking with God. And Enoch was not, for God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It changed how he walked. And when a person tells me, yeah, I've got faith in Christ. Yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. But if it does not change your walk, there's a problem.
Is it really real faith that does not change you? The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But I see people saying, yes, I believe in God, but their lives have never changed. They're still in the drugs. They're still in the alcohol. They're still in the sin. They're still living with others. They're doing everything the Bible says not to do. They're living like the world and the devil himself. And they say, yeah, I'm going to heaven. I believe in God. I'm not so sure about that. I'm not going to say a Christian cannot. We have the example in 1 Corinthians. The man living with his father's wife. But you know something really interesting to me that I didn't see till last night? It only took him a year to get right. He was wrong. I don't know exactly how long he was wrong. They churched him. A year later, Paul's writing the next letter saying, receive him back to yourselves. Comfort him. He got right. I don't understand those that say they have saving faith and yet never change. I'm not saying you're going to live perfect if you have true faith, because we're still sinners. We still have a flesh. We still fail. But if you live constantly in a state of sin and does not bother you, and the saving faith that you profess to have does not change you, you've got a problem. And I'm really wondering if it is saving faith that you have or if it's a false faith. Because you know, Satan mimics every single thing God does. There's always a counterfeit. And believe me, he has a counterfeit faith. There's a lot of churches and religions and even those that have Baptist on the name, but they don't preach repentance. How can you come to God if you don't first turn from your sins? Do you think you get a get out of jail free card and don't have to change? There's a problem with that. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble, but they're not saved. They've got faith in God. They know everything that God said is true. They know it will come to pass. Satan is looking with fear at the second coming of Christ. He knows his days are numbered. He's mad. He's angry. He's fighting. He knows the truth, but it's not changed him. I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians, those that profess to know Christ, that have the exact same faith that Satan has. They believe, but they've never acted on the belief. They know, but it's never reached the heart. It moved them to action. Their faith didn't remain neutral in their life. It was not passive. It was active faith. It did something in them. In conclusion, what's your faith doing for you? Has your faith changed you? Or are you the same that you always have been? Oh yeah, you believe that God came, that Christ died and was buried and rose again. You believe it. But have you ever accepted it? Have you ever turned from your sins to God? You see, that's the response to real faith. When you truly believe in something, you are going to act upon it. If you truly believe that you are a sinner, lost and dying and going to hell because of your sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you truly believe that, you're going to do something about it. Oh yeah, I know it. But you've not been changed. Do you really have faith? Or do you have a false faith? What's it done for you? Christian, there's some things that should captivate your attention. Christian, there's some things you should be assured about. Christian, there's some things that should have your affection. Christian, there's some things that should move you to action if you truly believe them as you say you do. What's it doing in you? For instance, you believe in heaven and hell? What are you doing about it? You really believe the world's dying and going to hell? What are you doing about it to stop them? What are you doing about it to warn them? Does your faith affect you? Does it change how you live? Or does it mean nothing to you? Lastly, and quickly, I want everybody's attention, please. If you have a faith that has not changed you, or you never have come to that point where you've put your full faith and trust in Christ, I want you to listen very closely right now. Because what I'm about to say has extreme importance. You remember Enoch, the one I've mentioned. Jude tells us something about him. I'm going to turn there and read it, lest I misquote it. Jude. Verse 14, it says this, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." You know, that's one promise Enoch was given that has yet to be fulfilled. But I can assure you, just like every other promise in this book, it will be fulfilled, and it's coming soon. And sinner, if you've not yet accepted Christ, your days are numbered. You don't have any guarantee on the rest of the life that you live. And if you fail to accept God, if you fail to put full faith and trust in Him now, if that faith is not working in you, you've got a problem, and you're very likely on your way to hell. And I don't want to see you go there, and neither does Christ. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if you aren't willing to turn from your sins and repent, if you're not willing to put full faith and trust in God, if you're not willing to allow Him to change your life, you're not going to make it to heaven. But you'll fall in that judgment that Enoch prophesied of. It's coming, and it's coming soon. People now say, where's the promise of His coming? It's been thousands of years and He's not yet come. That doesn't mean He's not coming. It just means He's not on our time schedule. He's not restricted to what we think it should happen. All He asks of us is faith. Do you really believe He's coming? If you do, you'll do something about it. Do you really believe that your sins are going to send you to hell? If that's the case, you will do something about it. It's action in your life. It will change you. Oh, I have faith, but it's done nothing. Oh, I have faith. You couldn't prove it if you went to court over it. There's not enough evidence in your life. You really want to trust that faith that does nothing in your life to get you to heaven? James says, "Know ye not that faith without works is dead?" That's my point. If you say you believe it and you have no works to back it up, if you say you believe it and it's not acted in your life, it's not changed how you live, it's not changed how you walk, it's not put a little bit of excitement in your step, and you say you believe it, but there's no works to back it up, it's not true faith. It's not. Romans chapter 10, I believe it's verse 9. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation." You see, if you truly believe the things we profess to believe, but you've never asked Christ to come in your heart and you meant it, you've never surrendered to Him, you've never repented of your sins, you're not going to heaven. But that's the answer. Don't believe it up here in the head. That's the false faith. Believe it in your heart. Let it change you. You can't try God. Oh yeah, I'm going to believe it for a little bit, see how it works out. No. True faith gives up to God. You see something. You see a coming judgment. You see a promised heaven. It gets your attention. You get assurance about it. You know it's going to happen. It gets your affection. And it leads to an action. Those that believe it get on their knees and receive it. Those that believe it, it changes the rest of their life. They're no longer the same that they were. My question to you this morning is, what has your faith done for you? Is it active in your life? Or does it mean nothing? Pastor. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. I'm not going to try to drag anything out. I just have a simple question for you. Ask yourself honestly, has your faith changed you? And if it's not, I beg of you to come up to this altar and talk to God and get it straightened out. Nobody's looking. Nobody's going to make fun of you for coming. If you know you're lost and need Christ, come and receive Him. The altars are open.